Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is the 23rd of February. Next week on this day, I'll be saying March 2nd. Wow, time goes by. I always say it, and I was trying not to say it all month. This month, I was trying to be good, and I'm back at, wow, time is really flying by. I can't believe it. And it's so cool because, you know, we're going through a lot in this country. And I kind of waited till questions Friday because people ask me, why do things happen, like these shootings, like all these people getting hurt in public places, and our kids are vulnerable. We're vulnerable. Everybody's vulnerable. And no matter where we go now, we don't know. We don't know who's holding a grudge, who's been unchecked. We don't know a lot of stuff that's being uncovered now. But as these things get uncovered, I have to go back to Origins of Truth, because everything in that book I have been quoting more today than I did when I wrote it. Because I remember clearly Christ saying, everything will become black and white. There will be no gray. And at first I thought, oh, and feelings. I mean, we could never imagine what that even means. But there's, I want to say we have grown through evolvement so quickly, technologically. We've grown through evolvement so quickly, physically, where we have to do so much in a day, and we have, you know, all our bills are a whole job, and our family and taking care of our family is a whole job, and our jobs are a whole job, and, you know, just navigating through life and then try to add anything extra to that. And it's not that life is so hard, but it's very pressured. There isn't room. There isn't wiggle room. If you miss a day, you miss 2 days, you miss 3 days, it's like, oh my God, the world, how can the world stop? And unfortunately, until there is mental illness or physical illness, the world doesn't stop. And when we have mental illness, we do have resources to help us. But just from hearing families that belong to the people who have done the things that they have been able to do, they already knew something was off. With this last family, they're not so sure. They just said, you know, there were no signs. He did seem a little depressed, but he was posting months before. There's always a signal. There's always a smoke signal. And if ever the saying, where there's smoke, there's fire, is truer, it couldn't be truer than it is now. It's such a sad event, hearing the families, hearing the fathers, the mothers, the kids, the pictures. It's just overwhelming. And I hope over time we realize that we need to pull life back a little bit. Everything is going so fast that at times we don't even have the time to mourn, the time to grieve, the time to grow through what's happening. From before we are born, the pressure that's put on our parents to have us in so many different ways, and now we're kids and sending our kids to school, that's a big fat question mark. My kids are older now, but if my kids were younger, I don't even know how I would deal with that right now. I have friends in California, just a little bit further down from where we live. And there was a threat to the school, and there were like 10 kids in the school all day. And they were probably the ones that didn't hear about it. I don't know how parents now drop off their kids at school and go to work. Maybe the system, the way it's working now, the systems, the different kinds of systems, the way our schools work, the way our homes work, the way our work works, it is evolving. More people are working from home. More people are self-employed. There are people who are homeschooling. And maybe all of that is the beginnings of a new time, of a changing world. It's not happening easily, but these big events are forcing us to pay attention. We had the shootings in Florida, I don't know, about a year ago. We had the Las Vegas shootings at a concert. We have the school shootings, and they say that was the 18th. The number was disputed. I'm like, oh, what's the dispute? Oh, well, we say there's 17. At this point, what does it matter between 17 and 18? And all Christ said is, hold those you love. Do in your best intentions everything you do. Let what life means to you be what it means to you each and every day. Don't put that off. Don't wait to say thank you. Don't wait to hug somebody. If your kids tell you they need your time and ask you for your time, don't tell them you're too busy for them. You should be too busy for the stuff that takes you away from them. It's the only sense of awareness we can take away from this. And learn to have compassion for other people. Because we don't know who's ill among us. A lot of times when you see pictures of these people, their eyes, and that's something that's pretty consistent throughout history of people who are able to do this, the way their eyes look in their pictures. It's almost like they haven't blinked in years. They're not well. They're not well. And we know that there's a lot of not well walking around our world. And blessed are the ones whose families can jump in and give them help, or they themselves seek help. Because help really does work in most cases. So it's just something I wanted to say. I know in my inbox that question came up probably more than every question, and it's a very emotional, getting closer and closer to home topic. And it's just bigger than we are right now. So how do we deal with that? Well, we deal with that with what's around us. That caring, that appreciation, at the very least, doesn't send everyone off that got killed the way they did in vain. Oh, my gosh. So that's such an emotional topic. I know there's a reason for everything. We get all of that. It would behoove us not to learn or talk about the things that are happening in life that we have to deal with emotionally. We can't throw it away. We can't decide we don't want to feel something. We're still going to feel something. Even if we try to ignore it, the fact that we're trying to ignore it is because we feel something. So I also wanted to say I couldn't get into Blog Talk today, so there's no chat. And I'm sorry, I just dove right into that. That was just such a prevalent question, and I couldn't get it out of my mind. But we have two questions today, and one of them is from Liam, and it's on my Facebook page, and it says, is relationships when we mess up because our minds are messed up, is there redemption for us, or will we be held to the time when we lashed out forever? Well, that depends on who you're dealing with. At times, when it depends if it's somebody that can come in and out of your life, usually in relationships, when a person has a relationship with a partner, that they made a decision to go out and then something happens and it doesn't work out, and maybe there was some messing up either in your mind, their mind, in both minds, whatever it is that happens. A lot of times when those kind of relationships break up, it usually will be forever. In other cases, I think it just, like with family members or friends or business associates, it might take time. Usually when people do lash out, or they, I don't say like lash out, but yeah, lash out, where, you know, they put a lot on themselves or other people, sometimes it's hard to regain that ground. Maybe over time those things happen, but I think both people have to come to terms with what happened, or the family and the person, or the friends and the person. Sometimes it just takes time. Sometimes it creates new boundaries around the relationship, because, you know, the other person or you have seen how far you could take it to what you throw at somebody, and it takes a while to come back from those things, because everything needs a healing process. Everything needs its time to be able to come up for air. I have a sister who I love dearly. She's goofy, and she's beautiful, and she'd give you the skin off her back all at the same time. And she, her and I, I want to say it was before the summit. It was either before the summit or right after the summit that we had in May. I can't remember when now. We got in a huge, huge argument on the phone. So much so that I have never hung up the phone on a soul in my life. Never. And I had to hang up on her because she would not stop screaming at me through the phone. And I remember my head feeling like it was going to bust out of my body, like literally out of my body. I asked her to stop. I said, "Why are you even talking like this?" I was just so upset. I couldn't hear another word, and I hung up. And after I hung up, I immediately wanted to call back, but I was scared of what would happen to me if I did. And she tried reaching me through texts and through emails and long emails, and I was so upset inside that I couldn't even begin to hear an explanation of why that had to happen that way. I was stung, and I couldn't pull the stinger out. And it took us, believe it or not, until last night. She called me. And she said to me, "I'm so sorry for what happened. I wanted you to fix me." And I found out that I had to fix me. And it was the calmest phone call her and I have had in years. It took so much out of me, and I was so happy that she called me and she said that. I literally fell asleep at 7:30 last night. 7:30, that's like early evening, until this morning. What had happened had affected me so deeply that I just didn't know, except to give myself space. Did it mean I didn't love her? No. Of course I love her. She's my sister. I'm going to see her for the rest of my life, whether I want to or not. But I didn't know what to do. And instead of calling back and lashing back and doing whatever we were, the dance, I want to call it, I knew enough that it needed time. It was hard for me because I'm a fixer. I wanted to fix it. But I didn't even know where to begin. Because in all of that, I got attacked with words on top of the anger of wanting somebody else to do her work. She wanted a magic answer. She thought I was the genie with the lamp. So to answer Liam's question, when we mess up because our minds are messed up, is there redemption? There's always redemption. For you, just by yourself. And then for the other people, by themselves. And if there is a reconnection after that happens. But what I learned is that takes time. Because the person who's lashing out does not realize how hard it is to hear the things that were lashed out at the other people. If I did not have that with my sister, and I saw how long it took me to come up for air, and I have to tell you, it was her birthday last month, and I sent her a text. I did send her Christmas text and Thanksgiving, and I did do that, but I would have liked to call. I was kind of ready. But she's the one who was also, you know, kind of made it clear she didn't want to communicate with anybody, none of the brothers and sisters for a while. She just kind of hid out. And so I was scared. I didn't know what I was going to get. But I wanted to in my heart because my love is there. And when I heard her voice last night, I was so happy to hear it. It felt good because the love is always there. How we react, we have to give ourselves time. Just like what I was talking about the events earlier, we need time to grieve. We need time to catch up. Even really happy things, we need time to grow to them. Every time we get good news, I'm always grateful when we get it sooner than the event that's happening because then we have time to catch up to it, time to accept it. Time, time, time. It's probably the only gift we can give ourselves in this life is time. Time to accept, time to grow, time to learn, time to grieve, time to understand what's going on around us. Just because one person's ready, it doesn't mean the other person's ready yet. It took her about 10 months, 9 months to get there. To be able to call. And she's so beautiful inside that she called because there was some good news that we got from my mom's family. And she called to tell me, and she said, I wanted to call you bearing good news. That's how she started. And I tell you, I could cry right now at how happy I am that we're able to be open again. But it did take time. We can't be scared of time. We can't rush time. We can't push it forward. We can't make things happen that we need to happen right now. Trust. Trust. If there's anything I've learned from Christ, anything, is that the answers come in time. If I didn't see Christ and I didn't do this show and I didn't talk about these things. I know, not I may have, I know I would have dealt with that situation differently. We may still never talk. We may have made a deal where I've never talked to you again and I can't believe you said that to me. Blah, 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 blah. But instead, I was like, holy cow, she's really hurting. Do that for her. she has to figure out why she can't dump that on me. She can't make me find out what's wrong with her. I'm not a fortune teller or a soothsayer. I don't even know why I said that. Well, whatever soothsayer means, I'm not that person. I can only tell you the truth. And sometimes the truth really does get people mad. But that's all I've got. I don't have your future in my hands. You have your future in your hands. So when you perceive people forever, there isn't a forever. There's only time. And time will answer every question. And it does, clearly and precisely. Sometimes we don't want to accept the answers that it gives us. But it will answer every question. But we need the time. That's what happens when we give ourselves time, is things are able to just naturally happen. And last night when I saw her name on my phone, I was like, oh, I hope everything's okay, because I thought, why would she call me after all this time? And she called me with love. And it took her this much time to get there. And if she's listening to today's show, here we go. I love her. That's all that mattered at the end of the day. Even when we weren't talking, I almost ached inside that I couldn't reach her. Give ourselves time to heal. Time to catch up, time to understand our own actions and what people accept or want from us. I have another question from Maria Dulce. She says, Dear Nadia, I have a question. That is always on the back of my mind. Would planet Earth always be a learning planet and the souls would have to go through what we see every day around us with ego involved to grow us? We can pray and send love, but still gets overwhelming the suffering of other human beings at the hand of other human beings, and I include our beautiful animals. Would there be a day on Earth where we learn through ego, but without the extremes of physical and emotional suffering? Would love to hear your comments on this. Lots of love, Maria. That's a great question, because throughout history, no matter what time period of history we are in, what you just wrote has been happening. Maybe it felt slower in times, more gruesome in times, less communication, less newspapers, less media, less whatever, so we didn't know as much as we know now. And it's hard to process all of this suffering like we were talking about earlier. But yes, to answer your question. Earth is the school that we come to where we are veiled from that pure love, and through free will, our job is to find it. It's to find it through those feelings. Discover these feelings over and over and over and over again throughout history. When, and this is in, again, we're quoting Origins of Truth over and over again, but when Origins of Truth was written, we were in the height of it. It was after 9/11 when everybody, me included, was in a complete shock. I still remember the day it was on the news. I remember the day I went to work. I brought a little portable TV to work to keep up with the news that day. It was such a sobering experience. Little did I know what was going to happen as a result of that and the information that I got to help us resolve, explain, heal, go through the grief of what has happened, this turning point in our history. There's many turning points. There was a Hitler. There was a bomb that went off in Japan. There's many points in history that were turning points for us to wake up, realize, and grow forward. One of the hardest things for a human being to see is to see something beautiful be disturbed. Yet, for some people, they see that disruption as growth or an outlet for their anger. And then we come to realize that, and we grow again, and we grow again, to the point where we have evolved to today. We went from trying to shut people down, shut their feelings down, when the whole point of Earth is people. And then what did we find out? We found out we couldn't do it. When we try to shut people down, and they have no outlet for emotion or for being a human being, they start breaking down. And then we said, oh, great, now we can probably make things work the way we want this world to work. But this world isn't going to work without people. So what happened? The people start fighting for themselves. And the people come out and say, hey, wait a minute, I count, I matter. Can you imagine us having to say, I count and I matter, and we're the only things that move on Earth? Buildings don't move. Things we build don't mean anything. Once we get sick, how many people have gotten sick and found out they're terminally ill, and then all of a sudden they're telling other people, hey, pay attention to what matters. Well, what are you saying matters now? Life, your family, your kids, give them time. Go walk out in nature. God, I can't believe that I didn't see that for so long. And they mean it. But Earth is here for that very discovery. The people who've discovered that, who say that, the fact that they mean it so much, or the people who've had near-death experiences and they've seen all of these things happening around them. Like they saw the light, they kind of went home a little bit and came back, and they can't help but tell you about it because they need to tell everybody about it in their mind and in their heart. That's the whole experience of Earth right there. Those little miracles, those snippets that remind us there's more than what kind of car I'm driving or where I live. If you can do those things for fun, like, wow, I bought this red car because it makes me happy, or I live in this house because I love the way it's designed, it's different, then I have this big house because I want to show you I'm better than you. It all goes back to the mentality. It's not the big house. It's not the car. It's how we feel about these things that either binds us or separates us. But Earth will always be that. And when it's not, that's when Earth will mesh with home and we won't need Earth anymore. And we're going to get there somehow, but it's not an end of a world scenario. It's not like everything's going to blow up and it's Armageddon. It's none of that. All it is that truth, love, and purity will rule. And this is the year of truth, love, and purity to be brought to the forefront of life. And it is, and it will be. And it's happening. Nothing is ever as it seems. I know my time is running out. I don't have the studio in front of me, so it didn't tell me 10 seconds yet. But there will be no announcement at the end of the show, just so you know. But you guys have a safe and beautiful weekend. I love you guys so very much, and all we have to do is know that we have each other in life and pay attention to the people you see, love, care about. Do it with all your heart. We have 10 seconds. I love you guys. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.